The black vote over recent years has gained an increased value with especially presidential candidates. While it will most likely be Joe Biden's sink or swim in South Carolina, can it be a voting demographic that President Trump can attract for a 2020 win? Our next guest is the co-author of a new book that looks at the history of the black vote in politics. He says that if that history, rather than modern day beliefs or hype, is studied and one decision is fully understood that was made by one individual, the black vote could experience at least a moderate shift in 2020. The book is Coming Home, How Black Americans Will Re-Elect Trump, co-authored by Vernon Robinson III. And my next guest, Bruce Eberle. Thanks for being here, Bruce.
Thank you, Chris. So glad to be here.
Now, you guys are not saying that President Trump is going to win the majority of the black vote, are you?
Absolutely not. No, we don't. We know that's not possible, not with the animosity in the general mainstream media. It's just not going to happen. The whole story is not going to be told. But we do think that there's a lot of similarities between 2020 and 1936, when Franklin D. Roosevelt won the black vote for the first time. Lots of people don't realize that actually Roosevelt lost the vote, black vote, in 1932, worse than Al Smith had lost it in 1928. So Roosevelt was really in a hole. And here he was, the party of slavery, the party of segregation, and his challenge actually in winning over black voters was actually greater than what Donald Trump has today. And we don't just look at statistics and data, but we also looked and recorded in the book the names of more than 200 black leaders right now who are strong conservatives. It's no doubt about this. There is a movement by black Americans towards Donald Trump, especially.
For the person listening right now, just to lay a foundation down, currently, I mean, polls are going to vary plus or minus a point, but currently, president has roughly around 9% of support of the black voters. If you dissect that demographic into male, female, about 14% of black males. And you write that if President Trump can get to the 20 percentile mark, that would be the tipping point. When you think about it, on what both parties rely on, how much they rely on for the black vote, the president needs fewer than the Democrats do. So that's an advantage, statistically speaking.
You're exactly right. And if the president should win 20% of the black vote, it will really mean a landslide election for the president. And it's not that nationwide he's necessarily going to win 20% of the black vote, but what it really means is, in those contested states where he runs ads to black Americans over black radio stations and over BET and in black newspapers, that's where he's contesting it, and in social media, that he will win that 20%. We have no doubt about that.
And it's, it would just, to a degree, be history repeating itself, because in states like Pennsylvania, among a few others, that's exactly what he did to pull out the quote-unquote surprise wins of that night.
That's exactly right. In Pennsylvania, in a poll taken by a reliable poll that the campaign took itself, they showed that Donald Trump, 4 days prior to the general election, that 21% of black Americans said they were going to vote for Donald Trump. And frankly, I think that's probably understated, because, as you know, white Americans supporting Trump in 2016 were reluctant to speak with pollsters. And then I can only imagine that a black person would be even more reluctant, knowing the animosity that the Democrats have for a black conservative.
I want to go into history, which you and your partner really focus on as the foundation for what your book Coming Home is all about. And that's important, I think, to help people understand, like I said in the introduction, the history versus the hype. The Republican Party is, as a bumper sticker statement, called the Party of Lincoln, which I think is ignoring too much of the history by simply saying that. The Republican Party exists, by and large, because it was an anti-slavery party. How did the party be at least presented as losing its foundation?
Well, my co-author, Vernon Robinson, always puts it this way. He said, for many years, the Republican Party had the moral high ground. It was the party that was against slavery. It was the party against segregation. But then in 1964, when Goldwater cast his vote against the 64 Civil Rights Act, it was then thereafter portrayed as the party against rights for black Americans. The Republican Party failed to enforce the 15th Amendment to the Constitution, which was the Voting Rights Act that also hurt them with black voters. And when the Civil Rights Movement came along in the 1960s under Dr. Martin Luther King, they were basically conservatives and Republicans were too often silent. It was not necessarily true in the Congress, where conservative leaders like Everett Dirksen and Bill Nolan led the charge for all of the civil rights bills in terms of the civil rights bills of 1956, 57, 60, and 64. A higher percentage of Republicans supported those bills than did Democrats. Very few people know that, of course. So the Republicans lost the moral high ground, but now they've regained it because today the Democratic Party is so opposed to providing high-quality schools in poor black areas for poor black children. And they always support the teachers' union when it comes to the choice between the education of a young black child or the teachers' union. Similarly, the killing of black preborn babies, of unborn babies, more than 20 million, is a really big issue in the black community, not even to mention also the flooding of the jobs market by illegal aliens, which too often drives down wages and or takes away jobs from working black Americans. So there's so many issues out there in which the Democrats are simply on the wrong side, and black Americans are waking up to this.
Going back to 1964, you mentioned Goldwater and a couple of the poor decisions that he, William F. Buckley, and others made in the civil rights era and the start of the what became the change. It's insanity, and you write about this too in Coming Home, how Lyndon Johnson, who was an absolute racist to the point where if he was not president, you would not get arrested for doing this. If you heard Johnson talk and you were face to face with him, you'd want to punch him in the face because that's how venomous his words about black people were.
Yes, and he never changed. He was like that even after he signed the 64 Civil Rights Act and the 65 Voting Rights Act. He continued to talk exactly the same, and he had the same awful, rotten attitude towards black Americans. It never changed. For him, it was just politics. It had nothing whatsoever to do with helping black Americans.
So Bruce Epperly, who along with Verna Robinson III, the co-author of the book Coming Home, How Black Americans Will Re-Elect Trump, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You've ticked off some of the things that President Trump has achieved, one of those also being criminal justice reform. And I love the optics of that, too, because he also, I mean, he did the legislation, which is, you know, a lot of maybe too much in the weeds for a lot of people. But he really drove that point home by teaming up with Kim Kardashian and that one in the cause as well. And when you think about that, too, the Kardashian show, that's got a high black viewership demo. That's a good connection to the black voting population by doing something with that and including Kardashian into that equation as he did.
Well, even as Van Jones had to acknowledge on CNN, he said Donald Trump now owns the prison reform issue. And Donald Trump does own that, and it was not he didn't do it for political reasons. He did it because he believes it was the right thing to do. There are other areas, too, where the Democrats have simply failed the black community, and that's why they are they're giving second thought to their allegiance to the Democratic Party. But first of all, their allegiance, and when it comes to politics, FDR won the black vote in 36 not because he asked people to vote for the Democratic Party, but to vote for him. And that's how votes shift. They don't shift on a party basis. They shift on an individual basis. So that's why the appeal of Donald Trump himself is so important. And when he was the star of The Apprentice show, he had a higher percentage of black audience than he did of the white audience. He was always very popular in the black community. In fact, he was very popular with Jesse Jackson and other black leaders. He was given an award where both Jesse Jackson and Rosa Parks received the same award. But once he became a Republican, then he all of a sudden was, for the first time in his life, considered to be a racist. It's total hypocrisy by the left, but that's the way they work.
Well, again, it's hype versus statistics, and you mentioned some of them, as the president did during his State of the Union speech just recently. What are the one or two steps that the Trump campaign and the Republican Party has to do to create the path to the goal that you say is within their reach?
Well, Yeah, we lay that out in the book Coming Home also, and that is that there are several great channels to communicate with black Americans. Social media is one of those, which the Trump campaign is very good at using. But it's also that in the black community, there's uniquely still today what they call black radio stations, not my words, their words, that are basically targeting black Americans. And the urban contemporary radio stations, there's about 62% of black Americans listen to urban contemporary radio every week on black radio stations. There are also black newspapers. So there's lots of ways to do this. And there's some good signs happening in both Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and in Orlando, Florida. And this is the kind of outreach that needs to be done. You have to speak directly to black Americans. And once they get past the lies of the national news media and realize that our agenda is very close to what they want to achieve in their life in terms of personal achievement and in terms of economic growth, that we have common goals and including moral standards, which don't seem to exist in the Democratic Party today.
It sounds like a concept to many that would be unrealistic, but as Bruce and his co-author Werner Robinson III write in detail, by the way, using history as a foundation, it's certainly potential that the Trump campaign needs to pay attention to, and the Democratic Party candidate, whoever that might wind up being, needs to, I think, be very concerned about. The book is Coming Home, How Black Americans Will Re-Elect Trump, co-authored by Werner Robinson III and my guest today, Bruce Eberle. Bruce, thanks so much for the political, statistical education and history lesson your book provides. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's my pleasure.